Chapter 9. The Headless Horseman. All the stories of ghosts and monsters that he had heard in the afternoon now came crowding into Ichabod's mind. The night grew darker and darker. The stars seemed to sink deeper in the sky. Clouds occasionally hid those stars from his sight. He had never felt so lonely and depressed. He was, moreover, approaching the very place where many of the scenes of the ghost stories had taken place. In the center of the road, a giant tree stood. It towered like a giant above all the other trees of the neighborhood. This tree acted as a landmark for all in the region. Its limbs were twisted and fantastic. They were large enough to form trunks for ordinary trees. These limbs twisted strangely down almost to the earth, and then rose again into the air. As Ichabod approached this fearful tree, he began to whistle. To his surprise and fright, he thought his whistle was answered. But, he decided, the reply was just a blast of wind sweeping sharply through the dry branches. As he approached a little nearer, he thought he saw something white hanging in the branches of the tree. He ceased whistling and paused to look more closely. He perceived that the tree had been struck by lightning. The white was a patch of wood laid bare. But then he suddenly heard a groan. His teeth began chattering loudly. His knees smashed against the saddle again and again. But the groan was just the rubbing of one huge branch upon another as they moved in the breeze. He passed the tree nervously but safely. However, new dangers lay before him. About 200 yards from the tree, a small brook crossed the road. It then ran into a marshy and thickly wooded glen known as Wiley Swamp. A few rough logs laid side by side served for a bridge over this stream. On the side of the road where the brook entered the wood, a group of oak and chestnut trees created a cave-like gloom. To pass this bridge was the most frightening trial. It was at this identical spot that several terrible events of the stories heard at the party had occurred. As he approached the stream, Ichabod's heart began to thump. However, he summoned up all his resolution and attempted to dash quickly across the bridge. He gave Gunpowder a few strong kicks in the ribs. Instead of starting forward, the angry old animal jumped to the side and ran right against some bushes. Ichabod, whose fears increased with the delay, jerked the reins and kicked in a panic. But it was all in vain. The horse started, it is true, but he plunged into a bunch of bushes with sharp, stinging branches. The schoolmaster now used both whip and heel upon the ribs of old Gunpowder. The horse then dashed forward, sniffing and snorting. But he suddenly stopped by the bridge, nearly sending his rider flying over his head. Just at this moment, Ichabod heard a squishy, wet footstep by the side of the bridge. In the dark shadow of the grove, on the bank of the brook, he saw something huge and towering. It did not move at all, but it seemed gathered up in the gloom. It was like some gigantic monster ready to spring upon the traveler. The hair of the frightened schoolmaster rose upon his head in terror. What was to be done? It was too late to turn. Besides, what chance was there of escaping a ghost that could ride upon the wings of the wind? Summoning up, therefore, a show of courage, Ichabod stammered out,
Who are you?
He received no reply. He repeated his question in an even more nervous voice. Still, there was no answer. Once more, he beat on the sides of the stubborn Gunpowder, and the horse began forward. Then, shutting his eyes, the teacher began loudly singing a psalm tune. Immediately, the shadowy object of alarm put itself in motion. With a scramble and a bound, it stood at once in the middle of the road. Though the night was dark and gloomy, the form of the unknown could now in some degree be made out. He appeared to be a horseman of large dimensions, and he was mounted on a black horse of powerful frame. He made no offer of being either friendly or harmful. He just remained silent, jogging along on the dark side of old Gunpowder. Ichabod had no desire to stay near this strange midnight companion. His mind flashed to the story of Brower being thrown into the brook. He instantly recalled the adventure Brom Bones told about the headless horseman. With more kicks, he quickened his horse in hopes of leaving the companion behind. The stranger, however, quickened his horse to an equal pace. Ichabod pulled up and fell into a walk, thinking to fall behind, but the other did the same. Ichabod's heart began to sink within him. He tried to resume his song, but his dry tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth. He could not utter a single note. There was something mysterious and appalling in the moody and stubborn silence of his dark companion. This silence was soon fearfully explained. While going up a hill, the figure of his fellow traveler could be seen against the sky. The companion was gigantic in height and covered in a dark cloak. Ichabod was horror-struck on perceiving that he was headless, but the teacher's horror would be even further increased. He observed that the missing head was carried in front of the horseman on the horn of his saddle. Ichabod's terror became desperation. He rained a shower of kicks and blows upon Gunpowder, hoping by a sudden movement to give his companion the slip. But the ghost started immediately with him. Away they dashed through thick and thin. Stones flew and sparks flashed at every bound. Ichabod stretched his long, thin body forward past his horse's head in the eagerness of escape. His light garments fluttered in the air behind him. They then reached the road that turns off to Sleepy Hollow. But Gunpowder, who seemed possessed, instead of keeping to this road, made an opposite turn. He plunged headlong downhill to the left. This road led through a sandy hollow shaded by trees for about a quarter of a mile. It then crossed the bridge famous in the ghost's story. The little green hill on which the white church stood rose just beyond the bridge. Until then, the panic of the horse had given his unskilled rider an apparent advantage in the chase. But just as he had got halfway through the hollow, the old, worn straps of the saddle snapped apart. Ichabod felt the saddle slipping from under him. He seized it by the horn and tried to hold it tightly in place, but his efforts were in vain. He had just time to save himself by hugging old Gunpowder around the neck before the saddle fell to the earth. He heard it trampled underfoot by his pursuer. As the chase continued, Ichabod Crane had much trouble staying on the horse's back. Sometimes he slipped to one side and sometimes to the other. Sometimes he was jolted on the high bony ridge of his horse's back. The violence of these jolts made him truly fear being split in two. An opening in the trees now cheered him with the hopes that the church bridge was at hand. The rippling reflection of a silver star in the heart of the brook told him that he was not mistaken. He saw the walls of the church dimly glaring under the trees beyond. His mind suddenly forgot the details of Brower's encounter with the horseman. He clung to the fact that this was the place where Brom Bones' ghostly competitor had disappeared.
"If I can just reach that bridge," thought Ichabod, "I am safe."
Just then, he heard the black horse panting and blowing close behind him. He even imagined that he felt the beast's hot breath. Another fearful kick in the ribs, and old Gunpowder leaped to the bridge. He thundered over the noisy wooden boards. He reached the opposite side. Then Ichabod cast a look behind to see if his pursuer should vanish in a flash of lightning. But no lightning flashed. The headless horseman remained there. Suddenly, the ghost rose in his stirrups. The monster reached back and threw its detached head at the schoolmaster. Ichabod tried to dodge the horrible missile, but he was too late. It crashed into his head with a tremendous force. He was knocked headlong into the dust. The next morning, Gunpowder was found munching the grass of his master's yard. His saddle was missing.